Mr. Robinson, next item 12.
Yes, moving on to item 12. Item 12 is another informational item to update the board on the status of the implementation of the replacement water agreement with the Salinas Basin Agricultural Stewardship Group. The replacement water agreement is a critical element of the Central Coast Water Board's two-part strategy to address the human health exposure issues and to restore groundwater resource by reducing nitrate loading. At the May 2017 board meeting, Chris Kerrigan of the Office of Enforcement and I discussed the terms of the replacement water agreement, and at that time I promised the board regular status updates on the implementation of this agreement. Section Manager Angela Schroeder will provide a brief update on the status to date, followed by Mr. David Costa, who will make a presentation on behalf of the stewardship group. And then I also want to point out that Angelis Caliso of the Office of Enforcement is also available and to provide information and answer questions, and I'll hand it over to Angela.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Wolf, members of the board. Angela Schroeder, Section Manager at the Central Coast Water Board. And I'm here working with Angelis Caliso, the Office of Enforcement, to oversee implementation of the replacement water agreement. As Mr. Robertson indicated, the purpose of item 12 is to update the board on the progress thus far of the settlement agreement. I'll provide a brief overview, and then representatives of the stewardship group present more detailed information on membership and current status. So in late March 2017, as you might recall, the State Water Board's Office of Enforcement, the Central Coast Water Board, and the Salinas Basin Agricultural Stewardship Group signed a replacement water agreement. The purpose of the agreement is to provide safe drinking water. In summary, the agreement enables farmers and landowners who are members of the stewardship group to avoid replacement water-related enforcement for a specific period of time. In exchange for the provision of interim replacement water to those reliant on small water systems and domestic wells in the Salinas Valley that currently have unsafe drinking water due to nitrate pollution. The stewardship group agreed to provide replacement water to a minimum of 58 water systems, with at least 35 systems in year one. In addition, the stewardship group agreed to provide replacement water to any disadvantaged person whose domestic well tests above the safe drinking water standard. The stewardship group also agreed to submit a replacement water plan to provide replacement water to all persons reliant on nitrate-impacted domestic wells, regardless of income. The plan is due by the end of year one for implementation in year two. In exchange, the Water Board agreed not to use enforcement authority to require replacement water for 1 to 2 years. So again, the purpose of the agreement is to provide safe drinking water. To evaluate progress of the stewardship group implementation of the settlement agreement, the Water Board is using specific performance metrics. This table describes the performance metrics for year one. For example, in the first 12 months, the Water Board's expectation is that the stewardship group will provide replacement water to a minimum of 35 water systems, which would provide approximately 134,000 gallons of safe drinking water to approximately 560 individuals. In addition, the stewardship group will minimize systems not receiving replacement water, missed water deliveries, and complaints. And in a moment, the stewardship group will describe their progress thus far to meet these metrics. To help maximize the successful implementation of the replacement water agreement, Angelis Caliso and I have weekly coordination meetings with the stewardship group. We are also in close coordination with Monterey County Environmental Health to ensure effective outreach to the water systems. In fact, on June 13th, the executive officer and the director of the Office of Enforcement, Chris Kerrigan, made a presentation to the Monterey County Board of Supervisors at the invitation of Supervisor Alejo and Supervisor Salinas. We are also coordinating with Gita Kapahi and staff from the Office of Public Participation to conduct effective outreach to the community. For example, Angelis and Gita have worked together to create a project website, hotline, and brochures and are also planning focused bilingual outreach to churches, schools, and public health clinics. In August, we will also be joining Monterey County Environmental Health staff to man a booth at Farm Worker Day event in Greenfield to encourage community participation. We are also coordinating with the existing UCLA and Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, Drinking Water Projects to ensure a smooth transition of these systems. Finally, at the May 2017 board meeting, Chris Kerrigan mentioned that investigative orders would be sent to landowners who did not join the stewardship group's effort to provide replacement water. The Water Board has now issued 6 investigative orders during the last week. Finally, while the main objective of the replacement water agreement is to provide safe drinking water, staff is also continuing their efforts to address the source of the problem and reduce nitrate loading from irrigated agriculture by implementing AgWater 3.0. I can answer a few questions while we transition to the stewardship group's presentation.
I have questions, but I don't know whether they should wait or not.
I'm going anywhere.
Okay, I'll wait.
Mr. Johnson.
I don't know who's the most appropriate person to answer. I guess what I'm curious about is how many growers have signed up out of how many and how many acres out of how many? I see nodding.
Yeah, and I'm going to hold my questions to you know, hear your presentation.
You have slides? Do I control that from here? Okay. David Costa, DAVIDCOSTA. Thank you, Chairman Wolf, members of the board, and staff. I'm here to give you an overview of the membership and acreage represented by the Salinas Basin Ag Stewardship Group. With me are Perry Clausen from CURES, who will discuss our water deliveries, Sergio Sanchez, who we're working with for outreach, and Jeff Gillis from LNG, who can answer additional questions. I'm one of the original members of the group and have been chairman of the executive committee of the group for the last month or so. We've met weekly for over a year now, and in addition to having been in Sacramento on 4 different trips to reach this point in our effort. On the membership side, we're at 56 members now. Consisting of growers, landowners, and shippers, it's a diverse membership. While the grower category is self-explanatory, I think the landowner category is more complex with traditional individual ownership. There's trusts and investment groups that are landowners that would be involved. The shipper membership includes some shippers that are combination growers and shippers. Some are combination shippers and landowners. Some shippers wanted to join on behalf of their growers, whether large or small, to make sure that their acres were covered as being participants in this effort. And other shippers have merely encouraged their individual growers to join on their own. In terms of acreage, I believe the irrigated acreage in Monterey County is about 225,000, but the Salinas Basin's acreage that this project involves is, I believe, around 186,000 acres because there are areas of the county that are outside of the basin, boundaries that the basin would serve. The acreage total of all of the ag waiver numbers represented by our membership is about 140,000 acres. But that number would include some AW numbers that are partially covered by shippers paying on behalf of their growers, and those growers have not yet joined in with the balance of their acreage. And I would expect just a personal estimate that number could be 5,000 to 10,000 acres off of the 140,000. You know, the original group that started this effort numbered about 19 or 20 members and involved about 70 or 80,000 acres. At that time. At this point, I'd like to bring Perry Clausen up from CURES to talk about the delivery program.
Well, they're bringing the presentation up. Perry Clausen, Executive Director of CURES, the Coalition for Urban Rural Environmental Stewardship. I wear lots of hats, so you all know me from Central Coast Groundwater Coalition, but I'm now working to manage the implementation component of this project. CURES is a nonprofit that's been working in Central Valley and Central Coast agriculture for 20 years now. We've managed cumulatively $15 million of projects, mostly funded by the State Water Board, California Department of Food and Agriculture, and private industry in both urban and agricultural projects. We have a small staff, but we work subcontract with consultants, University of California, Fresno State, Chico, a lot of other universities and such to implement the projects that we have. We signed an agreement, CURES signed an agreement with SBASG on April 12th. And we immediately sent out a mailing to all of the names on the attachment A, I believe it's called, in the agreement with the State Water Board. This included the state small systems and the gamma list that was provided to us. It's part of the agreement. And we sent out a mailing, and then almost immediately after that began making phone calls to the names on the list. We have phone numbers from Monterey County Department of Health that were included with the list. The gamma list we did not have phone numbers for, but we did send applications once. We didn't get a response, frankly. So I started the phone calls, and then we sent another set of applications out with a little more simplified application after comments from the state board for improvements for that application. So we have continued to make follow-up calls. This, I'm going to show you two versions of the reporting that we've gotten back, or the response that we've gotten back. And it's been a challenge because there is a great diversity of individuals that manage these small systems. It's everywhere from a house that has two other houses that share a well. There's industrial parks with multiple businesses and multiple residences. Some of the people that were managing the systems no longer manage them. Anyway, it's been a long combination of, or a lot of combination of different types of people that are managing these small systems that are sampled by Monterey County. So now I just want to explain this graph. So the colors blue, the shades of blue are the systems that are either getting water delivered, and I'll go through each one of them, water applications that have been received, water's being tested, because the Salinas group wanted us to confirm the nitrate levels in all the wells, and so we're offering that free to anybody that applies. So we're confirming that the nitrate levels are above the standard. By the way, we found two wells that have been below, considerably below the 10. We had one well that was 4.8 and another one that was in the 7 range, but happened to be an irrigated lands property that we found out. Anyway, so we're sampling each one of the wells, and so we have also property that's in the irrigated lands that the people have been provided water because of the program that's in place with agriculture. There's also included in this the EJCW grant. You see in the lower right hand, there's 19 systems, 40 households. We are in the process of transferring payment of that water from the State Water Board grant to this project. In fact, I had an appointment at 3 o'clock that I postponed today because I wasn't able to make it to meet with a water purveyor. And then I'm also in contact with UCLA in the pilot project that's underway here in the Valley. They have not provided water to the residences. The project isn't that far along, but we will be taking over, or we will be providing the bottled water until that system is up and running, probably in about a year. And we had one system, the person declined the water. And then we still have 5 people that are considering participation. Reasons are varied. A typical example is, not typical, I had a guy call me last week, said, my wife broke her hip. I can't do anything right now. Leave me alone. Call me in a week when she gets out of the hospital. So we've got reasons like that. Others, the people I need to talk to aren't here. They're on vacation. So all of those are encompassed by the blue. I anticipate that we'll have those in the next couple of weeks. We'll be providing them water or taking over the project. The other half, the yellow, are the ones we still need a lot of work to do on. One is that there's 10 people we've called. I've called twice. We've sent two applications. They've not responded. Others had disconnected phone numbers that were provided by Monterey County. Others didn't have a phone number on the list. And then we have two properties that are in escrow right now that we haven't been able to get the names of the landowners. So we are continuing to outreach to that second half of the list. I've got Sergio Sanchez that's going to be helping out on that. And we plan to have meet the goal that we described earlier. Here's just an enumeration of what I just described. It's just the numbers that are on the pie chart. Here's the performance we've done so far, and we expect to meet the goal that we have, and I think we'll exceed it because we have the names. We're going to pursue these names that we have, and we will have two State Water Board and yourself. If we're not delivering water, we're going to have the rationale and the reason that we're not doing that. So that's kind of where we're at right now. I think so far, though, it's been a challenge, but I think we're learning as we go. What are the techniques? How do we convince these people to join this program?
So, Mr. Johnson, you had a question. It has been answered. Mayor Delgado.
Ray? Thank you.
Are we hearing more presentation? No. So you have signed up 56 members to participate in this out of how many potential members?
Members on the total member? I don't know what that number would be, because
can you speak into the mic and also for the record state your name?
This is Jeff Gillis. I represent the stewardship group. As Dave would probably going to say the same thing, which is the acre base is so significant, and many of the grower shippers or the members themselves have significant landowner bases, and so it's more about the quantity of acres that we have under the program as opposed to the number of people. I don't know how many people were missing.
All right, so let's go over those numbers again.
56 members, but about 140,000 acres.
Okay.
Out of 180,000 acres in the basin.
That's my question.
One of the examples that I wanted to make was the strawberry shippers. Two strawberry shippers in the group, but they are covering all their individual, 5 and 10 and 20 acre growers. So there's, one member that maybe is involving, 20 growers. So that's where the numbers would start to get clouded if you're trying to talk about, operations, how many operations are there, in the basin. It's, several hundred, but a lot of them are falling under, one member in terms of the group.
Okay, so there's 46,000 acres that are not participating?
Yes, based on the math, that's approximately correct.
Are they supposed to be?
We would love everyone to participate.
Well, it's their decision.
It's not about what we want. It's about them making the final decision. But okay. We encourage participation.
All right, but you'll have to explain to me how this fits into, and there's an agreement, right, with the Office of Enforcement.
Right, and the Central Coast Water Board, too.
Sorry, maybe I can speak to this. This is Julie Macedo, Senior Staff Counsel with the Office of Enforcement. The goal, obviously, of the stewardship group and of the Office of Enforcement is to get 100% participation.
Okay.
So for approximately 18 months, there was an option to ultimately form and then join the stewardship group, and the members that are in it elected to either proceed at the outset. And now, based on the agreement, if people would like to join, they have to have a financial penalty. They have to have a retroactive payment back to May 1st of 2017, since they sort of sat on the fence while we were developing the agreement and starting to fund the replacement water, and also get the consent of the regional and state boards who are signatory to the agreement. The growers in the Salinas Basin who do not either wish to participate, choose to participate, or have not heard about it and have not yet been approached are going to be the ones who are receiving investigative orders and thus enforcement. So when we say it's a somewhat voluntary agreement, it's absolutely voluntary. If you choose not to join, you have to choose to deal with the enforcement.
Okay. All right. So now.
And we, just, for the record, we we've had many, many significant growers who have no land, who are simply in the marketing business and have no liability, are not going to receive letters from Julie. And but nevertheless, they've participated because they want to make sure that the basin is protected, the people are protected, the brand's protected. And so we have a lot of participants that are doing this because it's the right thing to do, not because they're being forced to do it or because they're worried about an investigative order.
Okay. Now, Angela mentioned, I think it was Angela, maybe it was you, mentioned six investigative orders have already been issued?
That's right, from the Office of Enforcement, okay. Both the regional and state board. We took a look at the participants in the group and then considerable landholders, either owners or operators in the Salinas Basin, and we're basically going down the list. So a series of six got them in the past 2 weeks, and we expect to issue another set in July. So people who don't participate and who are aware of it and thought that we would not take any action, we decided that, you know, we said continuously with the stewardship group, you can either choose to participate or not, but if you don't, you will get an investigative order. So that process has started.
So have they been approached to participate and have just totally ignored any contact?
Yes, letters were sent out, invitations, ag groups certainly made this aware to their members. It was well publicized for a considerable period of time before they received an investigative order.
Okay, and so 13267, is that what we call this?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So they can issue a 13267,
sure.
Or is
yeah.
it coming out of the Water Board staff?
Right. So those were actually co-signed, I think, by Michael Thomas and Chris.
Okay.
John Bishop. Okay.
Are they going to? Any idea whether these would be contested?
We don't know yet. We certainly, the reason I'm on the case is we certainly expect it at some point. Part of the reason we had an aspect of the settlement agreement to be on consent of all the regional and state and then the stewardship group is we actually would like to get this information, this 13267 information about the loading, about the land use practices of the last 20 years. That's helpful information for permit development and so on. And just the threat of collecting that information has ultimately yielded a very successful and productive settlement group, settlement with the stewardship group, and it's not the only group of people we're talking to. I do think people will contest it. I think they will approach us and maybe seek to get into the stewardship group, but just as a reminder, the requirement for issuing a 13267 is consideration of the potential water quality threat and the amount of effort that is required to respond to the 13267. At this point, we're simply asking for information about practices. So to the extent that we're not asking wells to be input or it's not requiring resource restoration as under a Water Code 13304 order, this 13267, I think, actually satisfies the nexus requirement completely in that it's simply gathering information that would be in the possession of the person receiving the order. So it might be difficult to challenge, even though they certainly have the right to take it to the state board and seek to get out of responding to it.
If they challenge, does that result in a hearing somewhere?
It could. They could request a hearing either with the state or regional board. They could petition it. If they went immediately to court, they'd have to exhaust their administrative remedies. It's possible that we could have a hearing after an incomplete response, but I also think that people may contact us and seek other alternatives. We've had several growers seek to consider an alternative other than the stewardship group. I've had two of the six people contact me since they've been issued last week. So the order itself requested information within 90 days. So we certainly will see if they will petition it or respond, by the end of the year.
Okay. My last question is, how does the potential for SB 623 affect the viability of this group?
We've been working previously with Assemblyman Luis Alejo before he became the Monterey County Supervisor with regard to a statewide bill that would solve this problem. Unfortunately, things in Sacramento take a little bit longer than we anticipated. And with regard to sitting down with Julie and Chris Kerrigan, we all pretty much decided that, you know, it was better to forge away here with the Salinas Valley Basin, solve the problem as well as we could here locally, seek permission or seek a very, very minor amendment to the Revenue and Tax Code that would allow the Monterey County Board of Supervisors to at least consider an option of passing a local initiative to address this from a long-term perspective. But from a standpoint of our group, and we're still, we still think Senator DeMonting's current bill, with a little bit of help, would be the way to go. It would be, it would not just deal with nitrates, it would deal with lots of contaminants. It would be a larger source of funding. I don't think whoever the speaker was with regard to the immunity issue that Monning has in his bill really described it correctly. I think it's a very, you're not trying to protect bad actors. And even in this situation, the immunity or the standstill agreement doesn't protect someone who's doing something wrong right this second or last week or whatever. This is about historical practices, and Monning's bill does essentially the same thing. It's not a blanket immunity. And so I think, I'm sure if it's not clearly written currently, it's going to end up like that, and it's going to probably mirror that what we tried to do here locally with our settlement agreement with the State Water Board in Region 3.
So the point to my question is, would it vitiate the stewardship group if SB 623 becomes law in some
yes,
form?
Yes, we will be super, you know, essentially it will most likely supersede what we're doing because it'll act as a replacement for the funding that we're putting up currently.
Thank
and
you.
So will the initiative if it ever, if we have to pass a local initiative.
Thank you.
So, no, the way I see it, we have two major pillars in this program for success. The first pillar for success is the stewardship, because you enroll farmers in the program, and you know the amount of acreage that you have signed up, you know, is very significant, and in fact, I would say very impressive. The second pillar of success that I see is this organization CURE, which I, you know, it has been in existence for a long time, but I was not familiar with it. So is the organization chart of CURE one that was established a long time ago, or was this reorganized to meet some of the goals of a stewardship? Maybe, Perry, you can answer that.
Our Board of Trustees is made up of agriculture, crop protection, and farmers. And we have been in the, so to speak, the business of promoting best management practices for crop protection, chemicals, and nutrients. This, we believe, our board has said we need to be in this part of the world, so to speak, in agriculture, because fertilizer is in part contributing to these problems. So proper stewardship of fertilizers is one component we still do as part of our organization, but the mitigation of the impacts of fertilizers is the part the board is expanding to. We had a one grant from Central Coast Board 2 years ago with the limited resource growers that was split with the EJCW. So we focused on the growers out of the grant disadvantaged community. So our board has directed myself and our staff to move to go into this area, both here and in the Central Valley. And we plan to establish, as we have with best management practices, a component of our organization that will work on not only the interim but the long-term solutions. Treatment, there's going to be a lot of needs for different types of treatments, connections to systems, and other things to mitigate these problems.
And I know in the introduction you mentioned CURE and some of a project, and you know the organization has a good track record of, you know, working very effectively with all these folks, because it sounds like it's literally ringing the doorbell and say, hi, you know, I'm with CURE and habla español, and you know, trying to get a certain level of confidence from those folks, because I And I'd like to hear from you on that, your experience. Is there, like, you know, hesitations or suspicions? Who are you? And is this too good to be true?
Frankly, it's been more on who's these growers? Why are they having to do this? I've had to explain what you just heard innumerable times. Cures, they go right past cures. The other thing is that we're using Culligan to provide the water. So
that was my next question.
We go right into it saying, look, these growers are prepaying a Culligan drinking water project. So what Cures does is we're between the growers and Culligan. We have the application, fill that out, we test the well, Cures manages that, and then you're off and running with Culligan. So the supply, the delivery, all the agreements are with Culligan themselves. We process the application. But the questions, every single one of them has been, who's these growers? Why are these growers doing this? I have had nobody ask about Cures, frankly. It's been more about, the other one was, where'd you get my phone number?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you know? And then there's a little bit of history with Monterey County as well. These wells have been sampled for 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And there's been some we've had to talk out of, no, we're not with the county or the state. And there's been people that have questioned that. One guy was not going to get involved with anything that had to do with state. Regional Waterway said, I'm not doing this, and said, it's with these growers. It's the grower program. They are the one putting forward. It has nothing to do other than the agreement that they have with the state. So it has not been, I was wondering myself, but it has not been come up in a single conversation. It's who's Cures, why are you doing this?
Yeah. And, you know, Culligan certainly has a branding recognition because I'm sure some of those folks are actually, you know, going to the local Culligan dispensing station to get some of the water. I've witnessed that myself in Santa Maria.
And we use the company here in Salinas.
Yeah.
They're the purveyor.
Okay.
Now with EJCW, they have a water purveyor. We are going to work with them and just pay the arrangements that have been set up with the homeowner. So we're not going to switch them to Culligan. They're going to continue with the company that they're using currently.
All right. And, you know, when you gave your presentation in introduction, you said you wear many hats. I would say wide-rim sombreros, you know, because you cover
I've
a lot of
got good staff and good professional consultants that help.
Right. Well, thank you for, providing this update. Mayor Delgado, additional question?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to Mr. Gillis and Mr. Costa. Inspired by your success, and I'm also inspired by your obvious apparent dedication to this effort. Like you mentioned earlier, Mr. Gillis, you're doing it because it's the right thing, regardless of everything else, and I really appreciate that comment. I hope, if you would, to tell your board that we are inspired by their collaboration on this.
All right, very good. Mr. Johnson?
I just want to echo Mr. Delgado's remarks. Just looking at the list of participants, it's very impressive. It's I know as a board, we've certainly done our share of butting heads at times, you know, with agriculturalists in this valley. And at the same time, I really get that they have a view by and large of themselves as stewards of the land and of their responsibility to the people that they employ and that live in the vicinity of their operations. And I'm real impressed by the way that this is shaping up.
And before we have closing comments, pardon me, I do have a speaker card from Monica Germillen. So please come to the podium and thank you for your patience. And congratulations on being the last speaker card.
Thank you. What an honor. good afternoon, Chair Wolf, members of the board and staff. My name is Monica Gramillan. I'm the Central Coast Outreach Specialist for the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. As many of you know, the EJCW Salinas office primarily works with disadvantaged communities affected by high nitrate levels in their drinking water wells throughout Monterey County. I'm here today to highlight the importance of our outreach efforts in the communities now impacted by the replacement water settlement. This board, along with the state board, have been instrumental in enabling EJCW to not only educate and provide interim solutions to affected communities, but to lead the effort to identify and plan for long-term solutions. The interim drinking water programs EJCW has led have been utilized as a precursor to something bigger, to a permanent solution. These programs have given us the opportunity to build relationships and leadership in the community, which are both instrumental in the pursuit of long-term solutions. EJCW is currently working on several projects funded by the State Water Board related to this replacement water settlement. We're currently providing interim bottled water to six of the communities listed in Exhibit A of the settlement agreement. With the help of the State Water Board, 35 households, one labor camp, which total 59 children and 119 adults, currently benefit from interim bottled water. We have been working with community partners in some of these sites for at least a couple of years now on potential long-term solution options for their drinking water problems. The drinking water programs have been a tool to maintain an ongoing connection with these communities, and being removed completely from this endeavor threatens to undermine our efforts in the eyes of our community partners. In the end, we should all have the same goal, long-term affordable solutions. We support the goal of the stewardship group mentioned on page one of the agreement, and I quote, to explore long-term alternatives and financing for more long-lasting solutions. We at EJCW are working on a Salinas Valley-wide plan, which includes long-term solutions for several of the water systems on Exhibit A of the replacement water settlement. We recognize that creative financing will be required to achieve long-term affordable solutions. We also recognize that arriving at these solutions can be a lengthy process and see interim solutions like replacement water as necessary measures to ensure communities affected by high nitrate contamination have access to safe drinking water. To be able to achieve these goals, we ask your support to help find and secure resources to make sure replacement water communities are connected with other efforts such as Prop 1TA and the DAC involvement program. We also ask that you help push the county to be more helpful with our efforts, particularly with outreach and education, and also with additional interim bottled water programs. While we work towards long-term solutions, I ask that you help me deliver something more than bad news to these residents. The hardest part of my job is informing residents of their water quality and having no tangible solutions to offer them. And this is happening a lot more frequently. This settlement can provide a small roadmap for future drinking water projects in the region, but its success will be contingent on the participation of multiple stakeholders. Hopefully, with your help, we can continue to be one of them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. Do we have any closing remarks from staff, Office of Enforcement?
Only if they have questions about 623.
I was going to say that I think the one of the better measures in terms of permeation into the ag community in terms of participation in the agreement is to look at acres. And for the Salinas Basin, about 75% of the acres in the Salinas Basin are represented by the agreement. I think Mr. Delgado asked a question about the number of growers or landowners, and at some point that becomes an exhaustive search or a de minimis search. You know, I think acres is a way to evaluate the success of participation. And then Ms. Schroeder presented sort of the metrics that we will measure the success of the implementation of the agreement. So, okay.
All right. Any further question, comments on my left, on my right? So, well, it was nice to have an item that concludes with good news. So, again, thanks to everyone for your participation and contributions.